We think of this time of year as forest fire season, and indeed, in parts of the West, hot weather does make this a vulnerable time for the wilderness. There are huge wildfires right now in the states of Washington and Oregon, complicated by warmer weather and the fact that people now live in the path of the fires, where that was not the case 40 years ago, in the old Smokey the Bear days, when this U.S. Department of the Interior film was made.
This type of high-elevation fire is under study by the National Park Resources managers and researchers to monitor their effects. Prior to 1968, all lightning fires in Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks were vigorously put out. Fuels began to build up to dangerous levels.
In fact, back in 1976, when our next guest retired as a firefighter, one of the biggest fires in the country was in South Carolina, 30,000-acre blaze in Horry County that took 100 firefighters nearly a week to clear. Today, the technology for fighting forest fires has changed, and the old Smokey the Bear approach has changed completely. But the passion for saving the wilderness is still the same, and it still lives in the heart of 22-year veteran smoke jumper Jeff Davis, who guarded the wilderness of Montana during his long career.
It wasn't just a career. It ended up being a love affair. I raised a family doing it, and it's all I ever did all my whole life for 22 years.
And how do you get the call? Are you sitting around the breakfast table? What happens exactly?
Well, they'll give us a call from the jump base, and then they will, from the forest, they will put in a fire request for so many jumpers. And that's the estimated number of jumpers that it will take to control the fire. 8 men to the Salmon River or whatever, and we assemble and go. Jump in an airplane, and the whole idea of the smoke jumpers, we go in by parachute so we can get there quick and hit that fire with quick initial attack and prevent it from becoming a large one.
Now, Jeff, do you ever get dropped into a place and they said, okay, 8 men to the Salmon River, and you get down there and you and the other 7 look at each other and go, we need 80 in here?
Oh, yeah, I've had many examples of that. One of them we needed, it was on the Salmon River, a fire called a Bull Creek Fire, and that country is steep as a cow's face. It always requires an awful lot of men. Usually the fires go wild, or the jumping is pretty hairy. Long story short, there was a fire that needed at least 32 jumpers on it, and there was just myself and one other guy that stayed there for a half a month to put it out because we were the only ones in camp. By the time they got more jumpers over the fire, the winds were so ferocious they couldn't drop any of them. So me and a man named Jim Elms stayed there for a half a month till it was out.
My goodness. How did you protect yourself?
Well, it's pretty primitive. There wasn't really any sleeping. Of course, in those years, safety requirements were not in place that prevented us from working around the clock. And once we jumped a fire, we would stay on it working 24 hours a day until it was out. If that was 2-3 days, you know, we'd take cat naps on the fire line and stuff. But in that country, that was so steep, couldn't even find a place to sleep, and it was pointless to try anyway. And the only water that we have for ourselves, potable water, is strictly for drinking. It's they drop 5 gallons per 2 men, and that's expected to last us for 3 days. Everything we have out there is expected to last us 3 days because we can't necessarily count on air supply after that.
So what lessons did you guys learn, you know, 20 years ago, 22 years ago? Because a lot of the wildfires we have today are caused by some of the fuel that built up in the way in which forests were managed really over the last couple of decades.
Absolutely. The Yellowstone Holocaust is a good example of that. Fire management policy has changed over the years, of course. And back in my time, in the 50s and 60s, 70s, the policy was to put them all out, regardless. Sometimes I'd have to race my guys to the ground before the fire went out because we knew it was going to. But we jumped every one of them that we were sent to, and we put them all out regardless. We could tell some of them were going to burn out by themselves. The Yellowstone disaster was because it was completely protected. They didn't want any fires going on in there at all. The end result of that, unfortunately, is a huge buildup of understory, timber falling down, trash, debris. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. We study fire behavior. To a certain point, you can predict exactly what a fire is going to do. But I liken it to a 500-pound gorilla. Once that fire takes over to a certain extent, it can go anywhere it wants. There's nothing that can stop it. They're called blow-ups or firestorms, and we've lost a number of guys. By the time they realize they're in trouble, they're dead.
Jeff, did anybody drop you into one of those gorillas?
Oh, I've been in several of them, yeah. One of them, notably, that was in California was a brush fire. We didn't jump it. We were flown in and trucked into the fire. And it was a firestorm, and there was people died on it. And they wanted us to go down in some unsafe terrain and pull some unsafe fire attack procedure, and we were too smart for that. And we said, no, we'll stay in the black. That means where it's burned. It's the only place that's safe. We're not going down there. We're not going to risk any men just for a fire. And they put some other men down there, and it blew up, and it was pretty bad.
You know, I'm thinking, Jeff, that of all the ways to go in one of those fires has got to be about the worst.
Yeah. A lot of people wondered why those people jumped off the Twin Towers when that happened. You will do anything to avoid fire. You will jump anything, anywhere, knowing you're going to die. That's why people throw their babies out and they jump themselves with or without a net. You can't stand the heat. Your flesh is melting. You're not really even aware of that. You only have one thought in your mind, and that is to get out and get away from that no matter what.
Now, in the development that's happened over the last few decades, do you have concern about yourself and other firefighters and smoke jumpers and fire bosses being flown into areas where you're basically just protecting some rich person's mansion that was built somewhere where maybe there shouldn't be a house? You know what I mean?
Well, yes, sir. In more recent times, we call it interface, where it's on the real estate people that sell country that should never have been built into, because it's wildfire country. It's forest. It's natural forest. People don't belong there. Back in our time, there wasn't nearly as much of that. And all the fires that we saw were out in the wilderness. That's why they called us anyway, because there was no roads, no access to it. Nowadays, unfortunately, a lot of times firefighters, whether they're smoke jumpers or hot shots or tanker crews, are going in to save structures and lives. We didn't face that situation much back in the 50s and 60s.
So are you a brave man, Jeff Davis, or are you a crazy fellow?
I'm one of them crazy parachute jumpers. All I did for a living was jump out of perfectly good airplanes and fight fires I wasn't mad at. I don't consider myself particularly brave. It just kind of goes with the territory. We react. We're well trained, and we just respond, and then we sweat it out later.
Jeff Davis, retired smoke jumper in Silver City, New Mexico. How old are you, Jeff?
I'm 77.
All right. Well, you know, I'd feel good if I knew you were on the case, even at age 77.
Well, that's quite a compliment. I walk a little funny these days, kind of as a result of a few too many hard parachute landings, so I don't think you'd want to count on me. I'm at the point now I'll let the kids take over and do it.
Good for you. Take care.
Thank you very much.